Welcome to Helios Consulting podcast series. In each episode, we will delve deeper into the what, why, and how of the many facets of industry and business. In this episode, Twyla Risby and myself, Michael Gill, will be joined by an extra special guest, Wenda Bradley from FASE, where we will talk about our ongoing Summer of Support, Helios's charitable giving event, as well as shine the spotlight on the phenomenal work that FASE does in Whitehorse and the Yukon. All right. Well, thank you so much again, Wenda, for joining us today. I'm just going to, you know, give you a little bit of background about how the Summer of Support came about. We started up our company. It's been about 5 years, 5 years now. We're coming up on our 5 year anniversary. And one of the things that we were really looking forward to is getting some office space downtown Calgary. So in February of 2019, we decided to explore office spaces downtown. We found one that we just loved. It was an office share program, actually. So there were other organizations that were in there and that we got to meet and know. And then, of course, you know what happened in March 2019 is the pandemic really hit us hard, and we had to shut things down and offices were shut down. They still, you know, they let us come into the office. This was kind of pre-conditions, pre-masks and all that kind of stuff. So we did, you know, hesitated a bit, but came in and you know, did as much work as we could. But then we had to step away for quite some time. And we really stuck together as a group. We had our weekly meetings and we kept in touch and we really pushed ourselves to, you know, to try and be as successful as we could under the circumstances. And, you know, when we did finally go back, when they, you know, briefly reopened in July, I guess it was, so that, I think that's when we went back anyways, we were looking at just how we've actually grown the company. We started off as basically three people and grew it up to now eight. And we've gotten more clients and we've sustained clients. So, you know, that's something that we look at as we're very grateful for that. And one of the conversations we had together was, you know, we should start up some kind of charity fund or something we can do to give back to society. So we looked at the Calgary Food Bank. That was the first thing that came to mind because of all the people that have lost their jobs and stuff like that in Calgary. So we started up this, we originally called it Christmas in July was what we were going to call it. But I thought maybe, you know, let's look at some other possible things. And one night I was just sitting at home and I thought, SOS, Summer of Support. Let's do that. And then we can blanket other things, you know, into it. We can bring other things under the umbrella of Summer of Support. So we started off with the Calgary Food Bank. They were very helpful and we got us all set up. And we did some pretty good things considering. We did more cash donations than anything. But that's kind of how this all came about. And this year we expanded into the Yukon with hiring Twyla. And we just love Twyla. We love working with her. She's such a great asset to our organization. We asked Twyla, hey, why don't we expand up into the Yukon, see what we can do up there? And she did some research and she found you guys. And we're really happy about this choice. And, you know, I'm a recent, I took my master's in psychology and I actually did addiction as one of my practicum pieces. And it's something that's kind of near and dear. So I'm interested to learn more from you for sure about, you know, what FASE is. And I look forward to this conversation. So I've said enough and I'm going to hand it over to you, Twyla and Wenda, for a wonderful conversation.
Thank you, Wenda, for joining us today. I know that maybe you were a little bit surprised when we reached out to you to ask if you wanted us to help you out there. And I'm really glad that you agreed and that we're able to be here for you. So maybe you could just tell us about FASE, tell us about your organization, the importance of it, and how you help Yukoners with and without FASD, and maybe explain FASD for the listeners that might not be familiar.
Yeah, well, thank you, Twyla and Michael. We are very surprised, as you said, that we were recognized and offered this great opportunity, but very, very pleased and happy to be able to be part of this conversation. FASE is has been a longstanding organization. It stands for Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Society of Yukon. That's what the acronym is. It started as a spin-off group of Active Living, Yukon Association for Community Living, back in 1996. So they funded the startup project of a group of parents who were concerned that their mostly adoptive children were growing up and weren't having anybody there to support them as adults. They were going to be tossed into adulthood with them understanding that these young people were going to need support, and there's nothing there that was provided for them through government services or any other service. So they started FASE to do that. So the original group of parents were very active, very vocal, and got funding, and we have grown from there. And so that was in 1996. The idea of the group, and we're still our idea, is to support adults who have FASD or who think they might have FASD with their daily lives or whatever things that they need to do to be happy. And so that can range from a number of different pots of our lives that we all want to be part of or to make ourselves happy. But just to go back to what FASD is. FASD is a spectrum of a disorder called fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and it's caused by women or people who are pregnant ingesting alcohol during their pregnancy, and so the fetus has come into contact with alcohol during its growth. And therefore, it can cause body and brain difficulties. And I say both body and brain because it just isn't a brain-based disorder. It is both. There are lots of physical things that can happen. A lot of people have imbalances. They have bone differences. They have heart difficulties. They have kidney difficulties, as well as the brain and cognitive difficulties. They're all body organs. They all grow and develop during pregnancy. And the brain being... the brain and nervous system developing throughout the pregnancy, so therefore it's greatly affected in all areas, right? So that can be in transmission of the nerves to your brain to your arm. Can you coordinate that action? Can you do it smoothly like we think that we should be able to? Or it can cause parts of the brain not to develop or overdevelop, or not to connect with the right chemicals and or nerve generation, and it also can cause people to not be able to think forward, so they can't plan for events in their lives, or they not be able to remember. And if you can't remember, and memory having different phases, short-term, long-term, and working memory, if you can't remember what you learned today, store it in your long-term memory to be able to use it tomorrow, then we are having difficulties with our lives. We all would, right? So simple things like even remembering to put your alarm clock on the night before so that you can get up in the morning to get to work. You know, those so little simple things that we do automatically almost without thinking about it, in quotations, thinking about it, can cause us to stumble greatly throughout our lives. So FASE over time has now become a direct service support to individual adults who volunteer to be in our service. So this is not a mandated. We are quite adamant about not having people told to use our service. We referred or recommended our service, but not told that they have to. We don't want that because we want people to volunteer, because that's when we build the best relationship with people. And our work is all based on relationships. If people want us to be in their lives and help them with their very, I would say, even intimate parts of their lives, you know, making your meals, getting up, making sure you have clothing, making sure you have food, making sure you have housing. You got to have a good relationship to be able to do that, because it can't be authoritarian. It has to be led by the person, you know, at the rate and speed of which they can accept it and go on with being able to use it in their lives.
Yeah, that's great, Wenda. With that, can you tell us a little bit about the different programs that you offer through FASE?
Yeah, so the like we were saying, there's a direct service program which is, again, one-on-one worker to a person who would like to have their support. And within that program, we have a lunch program where we supply a free meal for people who use our service from Monday to Friday. It is run out of our office right now. We did have it as a socially inclusive program where we had it, had the meals being cooked with Challenge Disability Resource Group, which is another service here in Whitehorse that supports people with disabilities. They had the service running out of the Yukon government's cafeteria, and so we were able to go there. So it was socially inclusive. Anybody in the community could go. People got to choose what they had on the menu, so they had a bit of choice. And then we there supervised it for about an hour during the rush kind of hour of lunch, so that people were able to get through the lineup, and our folks, some of them not liking crowds, were able to do so as well. So, and so that, however, with the pandemic, has caused us now to go to buying a set number of meals. So it's a little bit more costly, but also serving it out of our lunch, our drop-in area at the front. So we become kind of a, they bring us a bag lunch and then we hand it out to the people who come to our service. Initially in the pandemic, as most of us, things closed down, right? And that included any place to sit inside for the homeless people or anybody else who didn't have a place to go to, right? So thank goodness it was kind of springish and the weather was okay for people to be eating outside if they didn't have a place to go. But as October came last year, you know, it was getting pretty cold to be not having a place to go and sit or a washroom to use. So we opened up our drop-in to having that service after we of course, talked to the medical officer of health here too. To okay that process. So we've maintained that. We're still doing that because we don't have a cafeteria-like restaurant in Whitehorse. So it's very hard to convince a business that they would like to open to us for an hour to have people choose off the menu. And of course, we have a limited budget. So just a bit of the logistics there to work that out. But that's one of our most favorite programs, of course. One of the other programs we have is to address the issue of isolation and loneliness, which a lot of our group, because they don't sometimes have the skills to be socially active, have difficulty with. So we have a team that on the evenings and weekends provides support, which includes transportation, buying ticket events, to help people access whatever is going on in the community, as well as creating some activities if there isn't anything going on so that people have something to look forward to, they have some hope, and they have kind of a break in their own isolation of that is kind of self-imposed but not really wanted. And it is just kind of a thing that's not recognized, that if you have memory issues or planning forward issues, even your own personal time is hard to plan for, right? Like going to the movies. You know, you have to plan ahead to get there. You have to be able to buy a ticket, have the money to get saved to buy a ticket, be able to stand in line at the right time of the day, you know, all those kind of things, which a lot of us just can do. A lot of people can't. We do have an outreach-like office in Watson Lake. We call it Systems Navigation. It got started with monies from Kids Brain Health Network, from an anonymous donor who wanted to support some frontline work to help people with neurodevelopmental disability. So NND, it's called neurodevelopmental disabilities, which FASD is one of. So it also supports people with ASD, so autism spectrum disorder, people who have a genetic disorder like Down syndrome or any of the other disorders that are out there. So that one is, it reaches past FASD, but also because of a small community, I'm able to support anybody in that community who has an NND. And so that has two workers in that office, and we support a smaller community, which is really, really fantastic. And the people in the community invited us in, which was nice, and have very much supported that program. And then, of course, we do education. We educate as we can. We just recently got requested to go up to WCC, which they have done in the past, the Whitehorse Correction Center, to be able to help educate the staff that are working there. So that we have education at all levels. A lot of ours is incidental like this, a one-off education. Somebody comes in to talk about something, or we're working with a service provider and they're having struggles with a person, and we just kind of then can educate on the spot, so to speak. And those little bits of information help change somebody's approach to helping somebody or somebody who is struggling to get the things that they might need.
Wow. So you guys have a really full plate.
We do.
Yeah. So obviously the importance of donations is there. Like the need for donations is absolutely there. I understand you guys get some funding from the government, but I imagine that that's not always enough.
No, it's not enough for programs like the lunch program, because that, you know, kind of reaches far. And until 2 years ago, the lunch program was funded totally on donations plus funding from the Unity Way. So it just is recently that we've brought that into our core kind of activity funding. So, yeah, we have in FASI and grown on donations, you know, over the years. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really awesome. Michael, did you have any questions for Wenda?
No, I'm really impressed. You know, the skill levels that you must have to have to run such an organization, you know, because you mentioned you deal with, you know, cognitive, but also or physical. Is just it's amazing the people that you have to have around that know how to deal with all of this stuff. And not only that, you know, do it without judgment and create that trust. You talked about, you know, the relationships that you need to maintain. And that's really a key component, I think. And if you want people to trust you and come to you for support, that needs to, judgment needs to be left at the door, and they need to come in and know that, that they can trust you. And I think that's just amazing. Can you expand a little bit on, you know, just the different types of, I guess, special areas that are the different specialized areas that you need to have at FASI in order to support such a broad, you know, cognitive to physical support system?
Yeah, it's quite an expanse, but I think the main thing you need to do, number one, is have passion to help people. And number two is to understand the disability, because as all of our programs, as developing them, like the Out and About program, we take it back to what was the issue that the person was encountering. You know, what was that brain-based issue or what was that body-based issue and what they were struggling with? So if you take, you know, if you take the fact that people maybe don't have the skills to socialize, then you can take it back to the fact that there's going to be loneliness and isolation, and then you create a program to respond to that, but in a way that they need it to respond to. It's not that you put a program on, I've got this happening today, please come. Well, no, the please come doesn't work because they can't come. They don't, you know, have the money. They may not have the ability to get transportation, and they don't maybe have the memory to remember that it's happening. So you then have to fill in those kind of gaps for the person and not just create a program. Well, you know, we can all create great programs, but it's kind of, we have to help people get to these programs, right? Even to events that are happening in the community. Let's say like the farmer's market that happens here every Thursday, that if people want to go to that, we have to help them do it and walk with them to do it, not just tell them it's happening, right? Which makes a difference. But the relationship is extremely important and plays big in our work with folks who are in the justice system. We do a lot of work to support folks who are involved in the justice system. So we walk with them through that process, from visiting them if they're detained in the Whitehorse Correction Center, and understanding their probation orders and visiting their probation officer, to making sure they're on court on time. And again, all of that, if you think about what those processes are in task analyze, we're great at that, what the process is to get to court, then you step in where that person is showing you that there's a difficulty. So if they have missed appointments, then you're a reminder. You go and get them, you go with them to the appointment. Mm-hmm. And we have that mantra about walking with, not telling to, you know, walking with the person to make sure that things happen. And it's a great exercise for all of us. And every once in a while, we stumble and we go back to, okay, well, let's look at this. And where did that person fall? And let's analyze the steps that needed to be done to make sure that happened. And there's a lot of steps for us to do things in the day. But those of us with neurotypical brains just do them like that. They, you know, we can walk.
Yeah.
We don't even know our brain's working for us. It just happens. Where when That's you right. don't have those brain connections, it doesn't just know. And so you get that gap. And I always tell a story about one of the minds called me up, and I was working in a small community, and they knew I was doing this work. And said, you know, and they were supporting people who have FAC to work there. And so we're struggling with this guy. We've given him like this 10th ink slip. We can't have him keep doing this stuff because the other people are seeing it, and it's not fair to the rest of the group. And they were telling me he didn't get there in time. He wasn't in his clothes. He didn't come back from coffee, all these kind of things. So I kind of knew what I was getting into, but they said to me they also give him a number of alarm clocks. So make the story short, when I went up there, the issue was that he wasn't getting up in time. And if he did get up in time, he wasn't in work clothes. So there's a lot of memory issues that would be a problem. So when I talked to him, he says, well, I've been setting my alarm clock, you know, but the guy next door keeps breaking them. And I'm saying, well, why is that? He said, well, I set it. So I said, well, show me how you set it. So again, show me how is a great way that we work. Don't just tell me, but show me, because when they show you, then you can see where the step is they're missing. So he showed me how he set his alarm clock, and what he did it great. All the steps were there, except he missed the AM PM switch, right? And those things are small, they're red. Sometimes people can hardly see them at times, but he was setting it to 5 PM, not to 5 AM. So he wasn't waking up. So when he did wake up, he woke up in a panic, put on whatever clothes he saw and ran down to breakfast, right? So number one, he wasn't in his work clothes and stuff. And he'd come home at the end of the shift and his alarm clock would be broken. Well, the guy next door on the opposite shift got woken up by his alarm going off, because the walls are thin in those bunk houses. And so he would go in and smash the alarm clock. So explained a lot of things, you know. Number one, why were they kept giving him new alarm clocks? And number two, why was he late? He was missing that one step. He had the rest of it all down. So it was an easy enough fix in that, number one, and we showed him how and had him practice the alarm clock setting. But we also had a coworker just knock on his door when he got up, went across the room, across the hallway, knocked on his door, hey, it's time to get up and get your work clothes on. And that's all he needed to be able to be successful. He didn't get fired for that reason, right? So it's those little things that can trip people up quite easily.
That's amazing. It really sounds like you're focused on, you know, tailored programs or individual based programs. Yeah. I guess you'd have to be, right?
Yes.
And because of the responsiveness that you have to be able to respond to the variations or differences. It's not very templatable, is it? It's really dealing with that individual and working things out.
Yeah, you have to be very flexible and understanding. And what you think is, well, you can just simply do that. Like that situation, you should have been maybe able to figure it out yourself. If you had a neurotypical brain, you probably could have. But if you have a brain that misses steps anyway, naturally, then that is just something. And the other difficulty for talking with folks is that when they're hearing, if that nerve to the ear is not intact, or the reception of that sound is not right, there can be skips in what they're hearing. They might hear every third or fourth word, right? So they're not getting the whole context of your conversation. So what they do, and what we would all do, is pull in information from your past, other things that you've learned, other things you've experienced, and try and create a sensible sentence about what this person told you. And sometimes that doesn't work. A lot of times that doesn't work. So you're pulling in stuff that actually wasn't being said, but only because you've heard only four words of that sentence, then you're trying to create it so that, you know, your defense is there to try and to look like you're understanding, right? So those kind of behaviors come in quite often. And people with FASD frequently have, besides the memory issues, the other most frequent thing, two things. Anxiety is a kind of a built-in concern. And then the other one is delayed understanding or response time. So that if you're talking with somebody, they will stop and pause and think without, and then give you an answer. However, most of us are taught that if somebody pauses more than 5 or 6 seconds and you say things differently again, or re-ask them the question, or you try to fill it in because you're uncomfortable with that silence, and then we confuse the person or stop them from that thinking person, right? So we have people do different things. They will talk through that, or they hum through that, or Yeah. And so staff, it is one of the hardest things. And I was talking with the previous ED of challenge, and one of the hardest things to get staff to do is stop talking, sit and wait. Right? That's hard. The lady that taught me this, she was a great teacher. She had FASD, and she had a 45-second delay of response. Once I worked that out, we got along fine. But until that point, as I'm a registered nurse as career choice, and I keep interrupting her with saying, "Well, you know, tell me your favorite color." Well, can you tell me your favorite color? So we keep changing the words. Same question to me, but different questions to her, and confusing her, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she'd have to reprocess, right? Every question requires a reprocess. Yeah, that's amazing. This is so informative for me, Wenda, for sure, and as it is, I think it is for everybody. You know, we and like you said so many times today, is that we really take our day-to-day experiences for granted. We don't recognize that, you know, people suffer in areas that we just can't comprehend, because we set our alarms in the morning and we get up and we go to work and we just go on with our day. You really put things into perspective for me today, and I'm very, very happy to be working with you guys and supporting you guys into the future. Is there anything that you, any events that are coming up for FASE that you'd like to plug or you know, that we can, you know, share in this podcast?
Yeah, the main event of the year for us is the International Awareness, FASD International Awareness Day, which is September 9th. And over the last few years, it has now been expanded to the month of September. But the actual day is where around the world, FASD is talked about and made aware of. And I just put on our Facebook a UK film that's going to be coming out on that day. So about FASD. So that is a big celebration. We now are working with the FASD Yukon Action Plan, and we'll be doing a barbecue in the park, but it'll be at the cultural center, Onondaga Cultural Center. And we'll be handing out some kind of luncheon. And if we can gather, we'll be having hamburgers, of course. And if not, then there'll be some kind of, last year we did like a box picnic lunch, right? Because we couldn't gather. And then there'll be lots of other awareness committee activities. Again, last year they mailed out packets of hot chocolate attached to FASD information, right? So those kind of little activities we'll be doing. But that is our biggest day of celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe not celebration, but recognition. Yeah.
Yeah. Way to spread awareness. I think that's fantastic. And hopefully we can help you out here the best we can with, you know, podcasts and future events with you. Twyla, is there anything else that you'd like to discuss or talk about?
I do have one more question. Aside from monetary donations, is there any other way for Yukoners to help FASE?
Right at the point in time, no, outside of maybe donations of clothes and food for our emergency. We have an emergency covered, but we are still working on getting policy and process up for volunteers. But because our work is so relation-based, it's very difficult to bring in volunteers to work with individuals, right? There's the, you know, there's confidentiality issues and relationship issues and all that kind of stuff. But well, they can look to be on our board. You know, we're always looking for board members, and can become a member of FASE so that we can grow our support base. Yeah, unfortunately, right at this time, there is very little. Now, we did have this past year, Rotary Club of Whitehorse Running. We have had a program where we support women who are pregnant and have FASD, and helping them to maintain parenting of their children. And we've had a couple women this past year that were in this position. And the women of this club actually made meals and froze them for 6 months for us, so we could give to these new moms so they didn't have to worry about cooking. So that's kind of like a one-time opportunity, but that worked really well. And we're very appreciative of their extra support that they gave that way.
Wonderful.
And we've had people give us freezers and things like that for individuals. But again, they're more one-off than anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for that. And yes, again, like, you're just to describe exactly how people with FASD actually suffer, or the neurological, physical disabilities that they face. I mean, I've always been aware of FAS and, you know, how it can present, but there's so much that you had explained that I didn't even know. And so it's really easy, like Michael said, for us who are neurotypical to look at somebody and think, well, why can't you do that simple thing when their brains just don't work the same way as us? So it's really nice for you to put it in perspective for us. So thank you for that.
Thank you. And I think that's what we have to think about, right? Because otherwise we're blaming and shaming people. And unfortunately, our system has brought us up to do that. And we need to change the way we look at different at people and how we can support them differently. Yeah.
Exactly. But this is a wealth worth of information. And again, Wenda, thank you so much for taking the time to educate us on this. And we really look forward, Helios looks forward to supporting such a wonderful, you know, group of people. And you know, we'll be in touch with you for sure and to see how we can further support you guys.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for the opportunity. And we're very appreciative to have you guys and helping us out.
Thank you to Twyla Risby for joining me. And special thanks to Wenda Bradley from FASI. And a thank you to our listeners for taking the time to join us. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider donating to these amazing charities. Links can be found on all our social media platforms as well as our website. Make sure to join us next time, as well as listen to our new series, Pocket Change, short conversations regarding change in business. Thank you.